This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to, I think we're calling this the pilot episode of Terrace Talk. This is going to be a weekly fan show sort of thing where we speak to some Norwich City fans about all things that are going on at Norwich City, Carroll Road. All things yellow and green, I think we should perhaps describe it. I'm joined by Ian Clark. Ian, hello.
Hello there. Pleasure to be here.
Have you completed your sticker book yet?
I need two more. I need the Right Honourable Daniel Farker, and I need one of my favourite strikers, John Dixie Dean, and then all 230 will be safely enclosed in the book.
It's not taking you long, has it?
Not taking me long, no. I haven't nicked a lot of vouchers.
And Dave Hannon, hello.
Hey Connie, you well?
I'm good, are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
How's your sticker collecting going?
I'm a little bit behind here, but I've been giving him first refusal on every pack I open, so he's kind of rushed ahead. I reckon I've probably got about 30, 40 left to go. I haven't actually been through and counted, but there's certainly more stickers than spaces.
Come on, Dave, come on.
It'll be a glorious
thing. The negotiations between you two have been pretty intense.
They have, yeah. We've got very little work going on the last 2 weeks.
Speak for yourself. It's been a pretty informal an arrangement, though, kind of. It's not so much very, we haven't done too much, but got to need. It's just kind of like, where's my pile? Take what you need. I haven't worked out an exchange rate yet.
That's the best way you have to work out, particularly given that he needs two more, and if you get those, they can be like gold.
I haven't pledged them, but the lad who's pledged them to me hasn't actually dropped them off on the house yet, right. So they are still actually needed.
Well, hopefully this time next week you'll be showing a full book. Right, let's talk a bit about football then. We're going to have to start, unfortunately, with that 5-1 defeat to Villa.
Why?
That's a big question, isn't it? Dave, what are your reflections from that game? How are you feeling sitting here almost 2 weeks afterwards?
I think it was a bit of a wake-up call to me, really, because obviously we've had so many injuries, and like any team in the league, you take out two goalkeepers, three centre-backs, two holding midfielders, and probably the mascot picking up injuries as well. It's kind of hard to kind of contest with. But I think that was, you know, the boot up the backside perhaps that we need to kind of say, right, well, we're in a battle now, we are in a scrap, and kind of wake up and smell the rose. It's not going to be easy, but perhaps that's what they need. You know, they're not going to underestimate anyone now, because Villa, one of the teams that you would probably expect to compete against, certainly wouldn't expect to be rolled over in the way that we were.
Is that the most concern you've felt watching Norwich this season?
Yeah, I wrote in my last column, actually, I've been worried twice this year. Once was at half-time at Anfield, and that worry lasted for as long as it took for Pukki to score, and us to look much better in the second half. But this is probably the first genuine time I felt concerned. And I felt that game was a bit of a perfect storm, as Dave said. The injuries clearly were a big issue. I thought we were a little bit complacent. I actually think Weber had a good point saying that the fans were quite quiet. I think, in some ways, the worst thing we could have done was turn over Man City in the previous home games. I think we'd gone along there thinking, right, we did them. You know, even though we got injuries, we'll be okay. And I thought we'd look good. I mean, I've not been the greatest fan of all their spending and everything else, but, you know, on the day they clicked, we gave them too much time. You can probably carry one or two players who are not quite up to it, despite the injuries, but we probably had six or seven that just didn't really show up. So, but hopefully that one's buried away now, and we can get back and actually start doing what we know we can do.
As you alluded to, it's perceptions, isn't it? Because had Norwich lost 5-1 to Manchester City and beaten Villa
3-2,
then
yeah, precisely. And I suppose that's the thing. I think it could turn out. I wrote in my column after the Man City game, it was very, very tongue-in-cheek and having a little bit of fun with it, why us beating Man City could be a bad thing. But, you know, it could also, I could probably easily, I'm not going to this week, that company will see that fairly soon anyway, But I could quite easily have written reasons why losing 5-1 to Villa could be a good thing. Because, you know, it was very much so far in the season, we kind of had the, it almost felt like, right, home form, we're solid at home. Home isn't what we need to worry about, we just need to turn some of those defeats away from home into draws and into wins. But that was kind of the reality check, that we have to be at our guns at home as well. Even as us doing our own bit as well. Perhaps they should paint the dressing room pink again.
Maybe they should, yeah. It's interesting because I was sort of watching the Villa game and thinking, I can't really dissect this too much, because anything you took from a negative point of view has to be caveated with how many injuries there are at the moment, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's right if the results have been the other way around with City. I think generally as the season has panned out, if you'd have said at the beginning we were going to get 6 points from 8 games, not great, but probably not the worst start we could have had. I mean, if we'd have won one and drawn three and lost to City, you know, you probably said we'd have won 2 or 3 more points. But I don't know if you've seen that sort of the other 14 table that someone's plotting each week, and they've actually got Norwich on track at the moment. They should have had 6 points from those games. So I think it's all about whether your glass is half full or half empty or three quarters of either way. But I think I probably would have settled for 9 points at this stage, so we're probably one win or three draws behind that. But, you know, it could be worse, but clearly it could be a lot better.
It's the all or nothing nature of this Norwich team. They seem to, at the moment, either seem to win or lose.
Yeah,
is it the problem that they're not finding that middle ground and perhaps turning them defeats into draws?
I think that's exactly right. So, you know, those away games where you think, right, let's grind out a draw, they've not been able to do that. And so I think it's only us, Liverpool, and is it MK who've not drawn this season? Liverpool's for good reason. Why everyone? Yeah. But yeah, I think it is that sort of, you know, win or lose, go for it or not go for it. So let's grind a draw out at Bournemouth, we'll be happy.
It's interesting, that idea of grinding out a draw, grinding out a 1-0 win. As supporters, is that something very much that you view in the short term, but perhaps not in the long term?
I'd never want to watch a Norwich team that sets out to do that, because Chris Hughton set out Norwich City to try and win games 1-0, invariably didn't win games 1-0, and it was bloody awful to watch. At the end of the day, you know, obviously we want Norwich to do well, of course we want us to do well and we enjoy it more, but it's entertainment, to be honest. It's like, and that's kind of, for me, is the number one priority. As long, I'd rather go, you know, I want to watch football that I enjoy watching, and I want to have fun when I go watch a football match. I don't want to be stressed out thinking, if we lose the first goal, we're not going to win this because we only need to score one or two. I'd much rather try and win every game, and, you know, invariably you are going to lose four, but I think if you do that, you're going to pick up more points than if you don't.
I'm grasping at straws a little bit here from that Villa game. But is a positive that Norwich City didn't change their style even at 4-0, 5-0 down? They were still trying to play out from the back, they were still trying to assert themselves and try to score goals.
Can't really say anything positive about that game.
I'm desperately grasping
at straws. Yeah.
I think Farkas and Weber made it very clear that they're not going to change the style, and the players we've got are the ones we've got, and that's the way we're going to play. And playing out for the back is the way it is, and for me in that Villa game, it was Tim Krul missing that was
commanding the box for me. But the kind of a little spoiler alert to what I'm putting in my column this week, something about the fact that it took a long time for Daniel Farke to get the players he wanted to play the system and bed the system in. If suddenly they're going to decide that, you know, okay, we need to start scrapping more, we need to start you know, holding out for 1-0s and stuff and being more robust, is that a philosophy that they can drum in straight away? Of course not. So there'd be a transition period there where we'd need time to get a new way of playing it in, and that's what time wasted. If we carry on playing how we are and have some of the key players at the spine of the team back in the fold, I don't think we're going to be in trouble.
I think it's adapting, isn't it? So, you know, it, particularly away from home, it is going to be that ability to play out from the back, play good football, but become tighter, particularly centre mid and centre defence. So you probably need a bit of, you certainly need the beauty that we play, but you need a bit of the beast as well. And I think once we get Tribal, Tetti, Amadou, one of those in there with
the
playmaker, I think we'll look more solid, and we will be able to grind. I use the word grind. I don't really mean grind, I mean actually be professional. You know, Liverpool do it, don't they? They're able to scrap when they need to, but play fantastic football. So you need that all-round game where you can, sometimes you go away and get a point, not deliberately, but you know, you play well enough to get a point.
Leitner and McLean are Gerrard and Lampard. They're both, you know, I rate both of them as players, and they both bring something to the setup, but together that doesn't work. It's, they just aren't a pair together, because
it's balance, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And perhaps, I mean, I've probably, when I've watched that Norwich team, probably put a big circle around the defensive midfield position and said, right, this is where Norwich really need to address. And I suppose with those characters, hopefully Tetti and Tribal, fingers crossed, fit for this weekend will make a difference, particularly against the Bournemouth side, who are going to come out and have a go.
Yeah,
precisely. Okay, cool. let's touch upon that injury list then, because it is so broad. Have you two ever, I mean, we'll use the word experience, you've experienced.
I'm an old git, yeah.
You're basically saying you're older than us. We should probably move our order. Should we sit in age?
Yeah, we are sitting in age, listen. I've never known anything like it. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, you think over the years there's been, you know, you might have three or four at the same time, but to have an entire team, you know, we did it, didn't we, where we had, you know, the Norwich City cropped 11, and that was a decent side. And so, and I think it's the fact that it's been right the way through the team. It's not, you know, you one of your strikers injured or one midfielder. It's been that spine that's been missing.
I've never known anything like it. I don't know if I can remember having two goalkeepers out injured, for an example. And that's only one position. And, you know, the fact that even, you know, we look at the centre-back pairing at the minute, neither of them arrived at Carrow Road as defenders. So that kind of just says it all, really. You know, obviously Ben Godfrey has got the potential to go on to be a world-class centre-back now that he's kind of found that niche, but it's not what he learned. It's not what he's played his whole career. And it's the same with Ibrahim Amadou. He doesn't play as a centre-back by trade. So it kind of just speaks volumes that we're having to play makeshift players in positions that aren't necessarily theirs. And it isn't even a case of that we haven't got strength and depth. You know, you can name 25 senior players in your squad. That gives you two players for each position. If you get three injuries in one position, that's kind of bad luck. You've got nothing else, is it?
That's it, isn't it? Because it's really difficult, because how do you plan for, and as meticulous as Stuart Webber and Daniel Farker, how do you plan for Christoph Zimmermann coming back from an injury and then within 20 minutes being out until the new year? If Tim Closer, I think the Crawley player slips, doesn't he, and takes him out and injures his knee. And we could go on, but the fact they're not small niggly injuries that's keeping them out for a game or two, these have been
they are long term ones. Yeah, and when you think, I don't want to mention the Villa game too many more times, but probably Cantwell and Godfrey and Lewis, if we'd have had a full squad, none of them probably would have played. They'd have been rested because they were carrying injuries or preparing for an operation. So, you know, even those that have been fit, if you like, weren't actually fully match fit. So it really has been tough.
How much do you feel for Daniel Farker, because they've worked so hard to get to the Premier League and now he's sort of having to operate with both his hands tied behind his back?
Well, yeah, you can't really say anything more about it, can you? Because it is, you know, you can't put down for anything other than bad luck. Because I know people are arguing, okay, it's the intensity of the training, they've been training too hard or been perhaps too enthusiastic. I don't think that's the case at all, because I don't think the training regime's changed. I don't think Daniel Farker's said, you know, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he'll have turned to them and said, right, we're in the Premier League now, so I need you to train 23 hours out of 24 a day, and you can sleep for 15 minutes in the middle of the day if you also eat your beans or whatever. Like, I don't think they're going to have changed anything, because it's all the good work and intensity that got them where they are now. And it's just, I can't get my head around it in the slightest, but you can't really, there's no real rhyme or reason to it. I mean, last year we had a fair share of injuries, but it was one here and one there, and there was always someone to step in and someone always raised their game. Whereas this season, it's like buses, isn't it? You wait 5 hours for one. Well, you don't wait for an injury, but it's like, you know, arriving in, you'd rather have them spread out across the season rather than all of them at once.
Well, it's like these press conferences, you know, we're obviously not there, but we sit and follow yourself and Dave and Paddy. You're almost like, dare and look when the tweets start coming through about, you know, Daniel Farker's taking his sick to cold. Oh, no, here we go. Who's he going to say this?
Pull his hamstring sitting down.
I was watching Pukki, you know, play really well for Finland, and every time he sort of stretched for a cross,
rubbing a rabbit's foot, and you had a
looked great, so at least team is staying nice.
Yeah, well, the good news is it looks like 3, 4, maybe 5 of those players are back in team training this week. Tim Krul, Tribal, Tetti, Hernandez. I've missed someone else, but I think they've all been pictured this week.
Francic,
that's it. Which is great news. Let's look ahead to Bournemouth then. Hopefully Norwich will have some more options back. What are your thoughts going into this game, Ian? How do you view this? I think we need to
play our way, but we do need to be more solid. Certainly earlier on, you know, Burnley we got done early on, didn't we? Because they came at us. Villa, I felt they saw playing out for the back, so they pressed very hard. So I think Bournemouth will do that. So we've got to find a way of playing our way, but being being solid and being not naive. We've got to give it a go. I mean, we've got to start getting points on the board. I think scoring goal, we scored what, one goal away from home all season. Yeah. Just that goal from Pookie, which seemed a long time ago, beginning of August. We've got to start scoring. If he can pick up the form he got for Finland and get that ball through to him, because both those goals were exactly what he does. So get on the attack and hopefully we'll give it a good go.
As much as we think about Bournemouth as this slick attacking side, which they are in fairness, they do concede a lot of chances to opponents. They do at home specifically. So perhaps this is a game that could suit Norwich a bit more in terms of chance creation.
Yeah, it should be. To be honest, creating chances hasn't been a huge matter. It's just some haven't been going in. But I think with Bournemouth, it should be one of those games that you look at being the best advert for the Premier League. It's like, you know, neither of us are teams that are fancy, but we're both going to be playing good football. We're both going to be kind of showing people that, you know, we're in the Premier League for a reason. I think it's going to be a sticky one. And it's turning into one of the oldest cliches in the book with Norwich City away from home in the Premier League. Going back to Alex Neil's days, going back to Chris Hughton's, I think so much is hinged on who gets the first goal. Yeah. I think if Bournemouth get it might be a bit of a worry. If Norwich get it, it could be a bit of a slobber knocker.
Eddie Howe, someone who, like Daniel Farker, has gone into a club, will be over a longer period, perhaps added stability, added a clear philosophy, put the billionaire owner aside for 1 minute. There's a lot from Bournemouth's identity and the way they've built that club to the way Norwich have done it.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, of course he's had some money, but, you know, however much money you give, you've got to do the right things with it, and fair play to him. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about young managers, English managers, whatever, but, you know, when he's in both of those categories, I think fantastic achievement. And, you know, they haven't got a big ground, they haven't got, you know, obviously haven't got shed loads of fans there, but they play good football. And, you know, while clearly we want Norwich to be better than anyone, you know, if teams are going to be successful, for me it's teams that play the right way and have got a good ethos. So, you know, as long as they don't do it this weekend, good luck to Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth are one of those teams I've always, well, since we went up together in the same year and kind of went on different paths since then, I've always slightly looked at them with a little bit of jealousy, as kind of, you know, they became fashionable when they went up. I was like, Bournemouth, this is exciting. They're a team who haven't been in the Premier League for a long time. But, you know, we all expected them to be the next Blackpool, didn't we? Go up, play a bit of exciting football, but ultimately dwindle away to obscurity again. But that hasn't happened with them. And they've kept their philosophies. You know, I think they're the fine example of what teams should do when they get promoted. Because, okay, they have taken the odd spanking, you know, against someone like Chelsea or Man City every now and then. But they do enough to stay in the league, and they do enough to entertain their fans. And that's all we can really ask for.
That's a fantastic point in terms of Bournemouth generally. I think last season, I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they scored the most goals outside of the top six. So they're showing that actually you can attack, also concede a lot of goals, but equally survive in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's clearly what Farker's attitude is. And that's what we want, isn't it? What you said, Dave, is what we want to be entertained. We want to score goals, and let's keep doing it.
Feeling optimistic?
I think this is going to be our first draw of the season. But it's going to be a good game, and possibly a 2-2.
Of goals, hopefully. What about you?
Well, my heart says we can get something, but I think my head's saying I could, to be honest, I can see another 2-0 away to Finland. Hopefully not. You know, I'd like to see the very least get on the short street. But yes, what an odd game. I think it's going to be either 2-0 to Bournemouth or 3-3, something nuts like that. But you know, I'm always happy to be proved wrong, and 9 times out of 10 I am. So.
Well, now we've built it up as this big, expansive attacking game of football, it'll be 0-0 probably.
I'd take a 0-0.
You're probably right at the moment. Ian, Dave, thank you very much for joining me. That was the first episode of Terrace Talk, I couldn't get that name right. I'm going to get a bit used to that. If you've got any questions or topics for next week's show, then put them in the comments down below and we'll be sure to read them. And also make sure you look out on the Pinkin socials this week for your chance to come on and sit where these two guys are sitting, which I'm sure they'll agree has been a very enjoyable experience.
It's been beautiful.
Beautiful. There you go. Right. We'll put those with stars underneath. Make sure you leave a like, subscribe to the Pinkin channel as well. Hopefully Norwich City can put in a good performance at Dean Court this weekend and hopefully add some more points to their Premier League tally. Thank you very much for watching.